Well, there's no doubt this morning that we are genuinely blessed people. Amen. We are. Even when we don't deserve it, the Lord is still very, very good to us. Thank you for sharing that with us, Brian. We serve an amazing God who is able to do amazing things for us and through us and, of course, in us. And I pray that we allow the Lord to continue to do that. It's just so good to worship Him and to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are blessed by God Almighty Himself. Well, praise His name this morning. Are you glad for the Lord? Amen. All right. We hope all those that join us online this morning are just rejoicing in Him as well. And we hope that the Lord is continuing to bless you as well in powerful and wonderful ways. Well, this week we want to continue considering the radical teachings of Jesus. Last week we began this sermon series as we shared about the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Today we're going to look into Jesus' teachings about not being afraid. Fear is a powerful thing, as many of us probably already knows, and often paralyzes us. It hinders us from often doing the things the Lord would choose for us to do, and maybe the things that we should do, could do, and truth is, might even enjoy, but we don't do those things because of fear, because we're afraid for this reason or for another. And so we're going to take a few moments this morning to think about this concept of fear. And of course, we're going to look at what the world teaches in regard to fear and then the radical teachings of Jesus about fear. But we probably had to have some understanding of what fear is. We've probably felt that emotion maybe more times than we would like to admit this morning. But the dictionary shares with us fear, a distressing emotion. If you've ever been there and experienced genuine fear, you would understand that as a distressing emotion. And I know I've shared this story with you, but it's just so fitting because I remember a time that I faced genuine fear. In fact, thought I was going to die. Some of you might have been there. Not there, but in that position at one time. And I shared this with you, I know. Me and my friend Chris was coon hunting. And we heard the dogs mark a trail and treed, and so we were going to cut across this field. You've heard this story. I know you have. You know what's coming. We were going to cut across this field, and so we was making our way across this field, and we got about halfway across, and suddenly there was the awfulest noise you ever heard in your life, and up from the ground, something started moving and was bumping me and Chris and the awfulest flutter you'd ever heard. We honestly was scared to death. Of course, it's dark. You could hear, I bet, two states away, you could hear us gasp. And in fact, we were so afraid we both just fell on the ground and thought, this is it. It's over. And then it dawned on us. Yeah, it was something like that, Eric. And then it dawned on us, what we had done is we walked into a bunch of quail. And then we began to laugh. And then it was even harder to get off the ground because we were crying and laughing. And so it was amazing to go from, I'm dying, to this is the funniest scenario I've ever been in my life. Now, when I think about that, and I think about what the Lord does in our life, that's just how God is. In the moments that we're about to die, God moves on the scene, and He turns death into life. Never thought of it like that to this moment, but that's absolutely true. And we're going to see that this morning, I believe. But fear, and for many, it's a genuine thing. It's real. It's a genuine distressing emotion aroused by impending danger. Never knew quail was so dangerous. Or evil, or pain, or etc. Whatever you want to put in there. But catch this, in the definition of fear, whether the threat is real or imagined. Many of the fears that people face in our world today may or may not be real. Many of them are imagined. And it continues, it's either real, whether the threat is real or imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. So when we really talk about fear, it's a tremendous emotion that does amazing things to us in that moment. And our response to fear usually is simply being afraid. Well, Jesus addresses this issue in Luke chapter 12. And so let's take our Bibles this morning, if you would, and we're going to look at how Jesus addresses this, and it's considered one of His radical teachings, and you'll see why here shortly. But let's take our Bible, Luke chapter 12. Appreciate if you'd stand for the reading of the Word this morning. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to look down to verse 31. Actually, most of Luke, the early part of Luke, chapter 12 actually deals with this whole concept of fear, but we're going to trust that you can read that later today. But look at Luke 12 this morning, verse 31. Verse 31 this morning. And there the Word shares with us, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Join us in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we ask that you would just once again move as only you can, and that you would have your hand, your way, your will upon this service this morning as we continue to think about the teachings of Jesus and how they radically can affect our lives. I pray this morning that your word would just come alive to us this morning, and when we leave this place, we could recognize that there's no reason for fear in our lives. And so, Lord, for that to happen, we're going to need you to come on the scene and stir our heart and stir our mind, and that you'll allow us to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be able to preach your word to your people. And this morning I ask that you would just come in such a way that we'll be changed forever. We ask in your precious name, and amen. You may be seated this morning. Two very short verses that we're going to kind of consider this morning in regard to this concept of fear that speaks powerfully to us as we think about Jesus' radical teachings in regard to do not be afraid or do not fear. And we almost have to pause for a moment and say, is he out of his mind? Think about the world we live in today. There's plenty of reasons to be afraid. There's plenty of reasons to fear. He doesn't know what I've gone through. Yes, he does. Yep, shake your head. Yes, he does. All the things that's happened in my life, I have plenty of reasons to fear. All the things that we read about in Scripture, there's plenty of reasons to fear, and this is why it's considered a radical teaching of Jesus, because Jesus tells the people, do not fear. Many people would say, that's impossible. Have you ever been afraid? Sure. See, it's impossible. Jesus says, though, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Many of us are saying that's impossible. That's why it's a radical teaching of Jesus. And Jesus said, in the midst of that, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Have you ever thought about, though, the reasons that we are afraid or we do face fear, other than those unpredictable moments when we run into a covey of quail in the middle of a field? And I know you've all done that before, right? No, you probably haven't. But in your automobile driving down the road, there's been some moments where you thought your life was over. And so you faced that immediate sense of fear in your life. But I don't know if you realize it or not, but lots of people live in fear every moment of their life. I certainly hope that's not you, because that's horrible. Horrible. Could you imagine feeling every day that you're going to die, that this is it? Fear. It's paralyzing. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Why do we do that? Why do so many people struggle with this thing of fear and being afraid? It has a lot to do with what the world teaches. Yet, believe it or not, the world teaches us to be people of fear. The world teaches fear in many different avenues. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning, but why? You might even wonder, why? Why do they do that? The truth is because people who are afraid are easy to be deceived. And I have to let that settle for a minute. Because people who are afraid and facing fear on a continual basis are always looking for someone to rescue them, no matter who or what they are. It's the world's agenda to teach us to be afraid, to fear. Have you ever noticed the media tells us to be afraid? Often through advertisements. Now, have you ever thought about this or not? How many times have you heard you need this insurance or that insurance to face this catastrophe in life? Now, I'm not saying it's not important to get insurance. So, okay, I'm going to make that clear. That's not what I'm saying. But we're bombarded every day. Radio, news, television, commercials, all the media you can think of tells us that we need this insurance or that insurance so if we ever have to face this catastrophe. In fact, I seen a commercial the other day that covered your washer and dryer. Now, some of you have had washer and dryers for 30 years. They don't make them like that anymore, unfortunately. I remember my mom and dad, and my mom loved avocado green. Now, I love my mom, but I didn't understand that and never will. But she loved avocado green. And so she had an avocado green washer and dryer for at least as long as I lived. And then they passed it on to my brother. I know things don't last like that anymore, but we can get insurance to cover about everything in our house, a refrigerator, or a stove, or heating and air conditioning, and that may be a good investment. And if you've done that, I'm not saying that you're afraid. That may be a good investment, but it's just this concept. We're bombarded day after day. We need this insurance or we need that insurance. Not only is it about insurance, but you got to get this gadget to avoid danger. How many have driven cars that's never had a backup camera? Come on. Most of you here, some of you might be driving a car today that doesn't have a backup camera. And now when you back up, they even got little beepers for you to avoid danger. Well, yeah, that's true. They don't always work. And of course, we can't get someplace without a GPS. And we know, Terry, they don't always work, do they? No, they don't. They don't always get you where you need to go. But we've got to have this gadget or that gadget to avoid danger. You've got to have a cell phone, right? What if somebody needs to get a hold of you? I don't know if any of you knew this before, but hundreds of years, people have lived and did not have a cell phone. And they often avoided danger. Forgive me. The cell phone's probably more dangerous. Because now we've got to make laws that nobody abides by, that you're not supposed to talk on your phone while you're driving an automobile down the road. Get this gadget so we can avoid danger that creates, you can say it, danger. The world teaches us to be afraid, to fear. Not only is it about getting this gadget, but you got to buy this, whatever it might be, to prevent disaster. I know people who put alarm signs in their front yard even though they don't have one. They do that to prevent disaster. And then, yeah, there's people who put up cameras and all that stuff, and that's fine. I'm not saying that's wrong. I just want us to recognize everything that seems to unfold in our world tells us that in some form or fashion, we need to be afraid and we need to get this and we need to get that and we need to do this and we need to do that if we're going to present some sort of catastrophic, dangerous scenario in our life. But yet we go to the amusement park and get on a roller coaster and just trust God it stops at the end. There might be something wrong with us. But our roller coaster advocates would say, well, Jesus said, don't be afraid. Yeah. And so the world teaches us time and time and time again to be afraid, to fear. But yet sometimes it may not be the media or the world necessarily, but sometimes it's the voice in our head telling us to be afraid. And that flows out of everything that we've been taught and everything that we see and hear. But that voice in the back of our head tells us never to take a risk. You can't do that. That may not pay off. That may not work. That's probably not going to work. And then where will you be? We've probably all heard that sometime in our head. And other times we hear in our head, you need to isolate yourselves from relationships because people will hurt you. Don't get in that relationship. You might get hurt. You never know what people are going to do because people are dangerous. And then sometimes in our head we hear statements like, you know, you're not important enough. You know, you're not good enough. You don't have those skills. Your hair is the wrong color. Your eyes should have been green instead of blue or brown. Or you're not pretty enough, or you're not handsome enough. Nobody likes you anyway. And the list would go on and on and on and on. And in the back of our head, it tells us to be afraid. Fear. And of course, probably the number one thing that creates fear is worry. Some of us like to disguise it with, I'm concerned. But it's nothing more than worry. It creates fear, and often we're afraid because of those things. Church, the truth is this morning that fear paralyzes us. It keeps us at a standstill, hindering us from walking forward even in our relationship with God. And so we get stuck. Many people are stuck simply because of fear, and that they're afraid of what might, underline if you would, might happen. Unfortunately, it's true. The fear the world teaches is real in the lives of people. There are some people who won't even leave their home. And I'm not talking because of COVID, but because of a myriad of other things that they're afraid of. There's things today that you and I may not be doing because we're afraid. And so the fear that the world teaches is real in the lives of people, even in the lives of God's people. However, I want you to know we don't have to be afraid. Simply because of the radical teachings of Jesus. And this is what Jesus says. Do not fear. Some translations might say, do not be afraid. And so as we think about Jesus' radical teaching in the midst of all these things we've just talked about, all the fear and the danger and the confusion and all that's going on, Jesus says, do not fear. And that's in that moment we step back and say, yeah, right. Have you been in this scenario? Have you been in that scenario? Have you seen what's happened? Do you see what's going on in our world today? Yeah. And it's heartbreaking. But Jesus, in the midst of all that, still says, do not fear. Do not be afraid. And I would hear in my mind so many people say, well, you know, it didn't used to be like that. I want you to know this morning, as we think about Jesus' radical teaching, fear is nothing new. Nothing new. Even in Jesus' day, people were afraid and worried, concerned too. Now, I know there's nothing wrong with being concerned, and there's times in our life we should be concerned about things. But we shouldn't cover up worry with the thought of concern. It is two very different things. But even in Jesus' day, there were people who were afraid. They were concerned. And they had concerns or worries like, what will we eat? What will we wear? Girls still struggle with that, don't they? Well, some guys do too, but what will we wear? These shoes don't match my outfit. I don't know if they had that concern or not, but you probably don't either. But we took a young man to camp, and I'm not going to mention any names, several years ago to Nipshin camp with us. And he had a pair of shoes that matched every outfit he had. I was just astounded. What will we wear? What will happen tomorrow? These are the things that some of the people, and there's many other things too, that we could talk about that in Jesus' day people feared. Probably Rome. Death. All those things. You know, all those things we're concerned about today. Even down to the things that they wear, they were concerned. And so they faced fears and worries and struggles just as much as we did. And Jesus, believe it or not, said to them what? Don't be afraid. Do not fear. And I could see them doing just like we do at times. Are you kidding me, Jesus? Have you seen what's going on? Do you know what's happening in my world today? Fear is real. But yet Jesus says, don't be afraid. Do not fear. And you'll see those things in Luke chapter 12, if you read through verses 22 through 34, they're addressing all these issues that I just shared with you. And Jesus is encountering them, interacting with them in regard to their fear. And in Jesus' radical teaching, Jesus responds to their fears with powerful words. The words we shared with you in Luke chapter 12, verses 31 through 32 that say, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus responds to their fear with powerful words. Several things are happening in these verses. First of all, we understand that Jesus says to them, do not fear. Powerful words. Don't do that. In other words, he's saying you don't need to do that. Why? For it's your Father's good pleasure. And we're going to look at this a little bit deeper in just a little bit. To give you the kingdom. Not any kingdom. His kingdom. Like I said, we're going to talk about that. I won't get too far in that yet. But understand what's happening here. Jesus, don't be afraid. Do not fear. God wants to give you the kingdom. But he says something before that, that I think is absolutely powerful and will probably today help us if we're struggling with fear. And that is the words that Jesus shares, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. This is a hard truth. But the reason most people are afraid and facing fear is because their focus is in the wrong place. Did you notice that in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34? In Jesus' day, their focus was on what? What shall we eat? What shall we wear? What will happen tomorrow? The wrong focus. When we're concerned about, is the air conditioner going to quit tomorrow while it's 95 degrees? That's the wrong focus. What car? I think we went from what are we going to wear today to what car am I going to drive? I think we still deal with what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know that. Wait a minute. Isn't that interesting? The only person that knows what's going to happen tomorrow is God. And we're worried about it. Afraid of it at times. So often the fears that we face is based on the fact that our focus and our priorities are in the wrong place. And that's another sermon for another time. Because priorities are absolutely important in regard to the kingdom. However, in the midst of that, Jesus never sugarcoated the realities of the world. Never did. In fact, He shared with His followers that they would encounter things that might be frightening and fearful in their life. And if you live very long, you're going to encounter some things that are going to be frightening and fearful. But remember, Jesus said, help me out, do not be afraid. Let's say that again. Do not be afraid. So there are going to be times in our life that we are going to face fear and frightening moments. Yet Jesus said to them, and I believe He says to us today, and we find this in John chapter 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. Isn't that powerful? We find our peace not in the things of the world or the teachings of the world, but in Jesus. Remember, focus, priority, Jesus. In this world you will have trouble. I guarantee you. In this world you're going to have trouble. Jesus said that. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus knows all about trial and trouble. He also knows about fear. You're saying Jesus encountered fear? Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Where Jesus went and prayed, Father, if it's Your will, You let this cup pass from Me? Now, I didn't say He was afraid. I said He faced fear. And so He knows what fear is all about. And so He says to us, He said to them in His day, He says to us today, take heart, I've overcome the world. No matter how frightening or unsettling things may be, Jesus is still in charge and says to us, don't be afraid. I'd like to draw our attention back to verse 32 this morning. We were talking about that just a minute ago, where Jesus says simply, do not fear, little flock. For it is Your Father's good pleasure to give You the kingdom. I don't know if we recognize exactly how powerful that statement is that Jesus makes to us. He first tells us, do not fear. And that's radical teaching concerning the circumstances in his day and the circumstances in our day. But he also tells us why we shouldn't fear or be afraid. It's the Father's good pleasure. Or in other words, it's the desire of God. We know who God is, right? Creator of the universe, the one that's ultimately in charge of everything, who already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. In fact, he knows what's going to happen in the next second, what the rest of our day is going to be. It's his desire to give to us the kingdom. Not the world and the things in it, but himself and all that he is. Listen to what Peter shares with us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly, you need to underline this, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's powerful stuff. Everything that we need, God can provide. In fact, he says that we can be partakers not only of the kingdom, because God is giving to us the kingdom, but of his divine nature. We could spend all day talking about God's divine nature, and he's making it available to us. It's no wonder Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, do not fear." What's the verse we love to quote? If the Lord's for us, who can be against us? It's not that we're not going to face fear or have trial and trouble in this world, but we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to be afraid of it because we have access to the divine nature of God. Man, you could chew on that for a while. Talk about real. Yeah, fear is real, but I want you to know that this concept of not being afraid is just as real and more powerful simply because of what God is doing in our life. And so don't be afraid. Jesus also overcame death, hell, and the grave, defeating the devil at the cross of Calvary. He has every reason and the power to tell us not to be afraid. Oh, I hope this morning we get the concept that we don't have to fear. We'll have to face fear at times, but we don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. And so note this, if you would. Not being afraid is really about trust. Everything that we've seen today so far is about who we trust. Are we trusting in the world? If you trust in the world, oh, you better be afraid. But if you're trusting in Jesus this morning, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live in fear. It's about trust. And not just trusting anything, but trusting in Jesus. When we trust in Jesus, we don't have to be afraid. In fact, today we can trust that Jesus has a plan. And I want you to know this morning that Jesus has a plan. And trusting Jesus has a plan makes it possible for us to walk in faith and trust instead of being paralyzed by fear. Many of us are very familiar with that very, very, very powerful passage of Scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you could probably quote it. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." If we believe that this morning, we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to be afraid. Because whatever's happening today, God's got better things than that. Brian sang about drinking from his saucer. As Christians, I want you to know, as believers this morning, we can do that. What did David say? "In the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table before me. My cup runs over." Presence of mind. We don't have to be afraid. We do not have to live in fear. However, the Lord may not take us out of trouble, but He will certainly take us through it. I guarantee you He can. And He will, if you trust Him. And so when it comes to this thing of fear, I want us to consider quickly these few verses. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 shares with us, "There is no fear in love." Isn't that powerful? You know who loves you this morning? You can go ahead and say that. Who loves you this morning? Jesus does. The Father does. There's no fear in love. And so Jesus says to us, do not fear. But perfect love casts out fear. What did Jesus say? Perfect love. Perfect love only comes from the Father. Flows through Jesus Christ to us. And He's the one who says, don't fear. Love casts out fear because fear involves torment. Boy, if you've ever had to face fear and live in fear, you know what that's like. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Boy, that's something else to think about for some time, and we don't have time to do that this morning. But if we are, if I can say this word, if we're wallowing in fear today, we don't understand the love of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 31 shares with us, "Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than the sparrows." This is that parallel passage from what we see in Luke. We see in Matthew, very similar passage, where Jesus says, "Do not fear." Why should we not fear? Because you are of more value than the sparrows. In the scripture there, we would know, says that the Lord takes care of the sparrows. He feeds them and clothes them and houses them. You are more value than them. And so I want you to know this morning that you are of great value. And if that voice in the back of your head says to you this morning, you're not that important, you're not of great value, that is a lie of the devil. Every one of you here this morning, everyone in the sound of my voice watching online this morning, you are of great value. Of course, Luke chapter 12, verse 7 also shares with us, "But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many," not a few, "many sparrows." We are of such great value that the Lord knows the number of hairs on our head. Now, if you don't think the Lord isn't watching out for you, here's your clarification. He's paying enough attention to Pastor Mike than he knows every hair that falls from my head. And that's an ongoing battle. Trust me, I notice. I look in pictures and think, my hair is that thin? Man, Lord, you've been watching over me. When my wife brushes her hair in the morning, I think she's got more hair in the hairbrush than I got on my head. So the Lord's watching. Stay with me here for a minute. The Lord's watching what little hair I got left. And He knows how many hairs not only on my wife's head, which is a whole bunch, and what's in the hairbrush. Do you get this concept of why we don't need to be afraid? If He's concerned enough to count the hairs on our head, don't you think He cares enough about the other things that's going on in our life? You care about yourself, right? Shake your heads, yes, you do. And it's okay, yes, we're supposed to care about ourselves because we're supposed to love our neighbor as we love ourself. And so if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't what? Take care, love or take care of our neighbor. And did you count how many hairs was in your hairbrush this morning? Oh, I know, Pastor, that's absurd. But I want us to get how much God takes care of us, watches over us, and the reason why today we do not need to be afraid. One of my favorite verses, and I have many of them, by the way, kind of like my favorite songs, you know, the list is just longer and longer and longer. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." When we accepted Christ as our Savior, it was not a bondage to fear. It was freedom. But you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I love that. I absolutely love that. Of course, Abba means Papa. When I'm facing fear, when you're facing fear, we wasn't received into a spirit of bondage to fear, but freedom. And when we're facing fear, we can cry out to, catch this, Papa God, who has just numbered the hairs on our head. I don't know about you, but church, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. And of course, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 shares with us, "For God has not given a spirit of fear," oh, get this, "but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Remember those voices in the back of our head that says, you're not good enough? We don't have to have that either, because God is a God of power and love and of a sound mind. Jesus says to us today, as radical as you may think it be, do not fear. I want to say to you, we do not have to be afraid. And so I want to encourage you to live radically. Remember, to live radically simply means that we're going to live out in our lives, the teaching of Jesus. And so to do that, we are not going to be, help me, afraid. You didn't help me out very much there. We're not going to be afraid. Man, you're a bunch of radicals. Yeah. We're not going to live in fear. So to live radically as simply as a fact, we're not going to live in fear. Living radically means not living in fear, but trusting Jesus in everything. In everything. That means when we go through troubles and trials, we trust God even though we don't understand why. Over the years, I had so many people say, Pastor, why? Pastor, why? You know, I can't answer some of those questions. I don't know why. But I know we don't have to be afraid. And I know we have to fear. Why? Because of Papa God. Even though we don't understand why. Truth is, in this world, we may never understand why. But we can understand that God loves us and cares for us enough and is concerned about us enough that we do not have to live in fear. And so as we come to a close this morning, I wonder today, what are we afraid of? Or what are we fearing in our lives right now? If we are afraid of something or fearing something in our lives, Jesus says to us, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Now, I'm not telling you today that if you don't like snakes, to go out there and chase a snake down and kill it. That is not what I'm telling you. Here's what I'm telling you. If we're afraid or fearing something, we need to bring that fear to the Lord. Whatever that fear is. Because as believers, we don't have to live in fear. Let's stand together this morning if you would. I'm going to ask Lana and Brian if you would come, and they're going to play for us a little bit this morning. And I want us to just pause for a moment. And ask ourselves, what am I afraid of? Some of us may not even ask that question. We might already have a list of things in our mind that we're afraid of, or things that we're fearing. Whatever those things are, I believe we can bring them to the Lord and we can live apart from fear because of Christ in our life. And so as we're thinking about those things this morning, maybe we just need to step out and come to an altar of prayer and say, Lord, You know this is what I'm dealing with right now in my life. And I need You. Simply be able to say to the Lord, I know I don't have to live in fear. Free me from this fear. We're just going to pause for a moment. Maybe you just want to step out and come to an altar of prayer. Leave that fear at the altar. We don't have to live in fear today. I know that because Jesus says to us, do not fear. Just a moment or two longer.